Good to see you. Welcome to Emmaus. Raise your hand if you like a Bible. We'll hand one to you. We're going to be in Matthew's Gospel, chapter 6. And there's also notes pages, which will be helpful to fill out, I think, if you want to ask for one of those. Hope that you feel at home this morning, that you've been well welcomed, and that you're welcoming others. It strikes me as I drive over here this morning, I was thinking about how much effort we put into this time. From a staff perspective, a lot of our effort is spent throughout the week on projects and teams and pastoral care and all the logistics of community development. From a volunteer perspective, there's all kinds of stuff happening throughout the week. But really, if you were to graph it, a remarkable amount of our time is spent focused on this hour or two that we spend together. And that's on a staff perspective, a volunteer perspective, and on everybody's perspective. Right? All of us have prioritized this time in the midst of a really busy season of year. When there's all kinds of things going on, it just strikes me that we make a really big deal about this, and that's entirely appropriate. It's entirely appropriate, because what we're doing together is we're saying that nothing else matters as more right now than gathering with other people in our community to worship the Lord. And this is right, and it is good, and I hope that it will be an encouraging thing for you and a challenging thing for you continually. For some of us, this becomes remarkably routine, and that's also a really good thing, as long as it doesn't become empty of meaning, and that's all on us, because the meaning is robust and full throttle, right? So let's be here now, and let's engage in this. Yes, we make a really big deal about it, and it's so good that we do, and we join with others all around the world in all kinds of situations who have decided, yeah, this morning I'm going to take an hour and I'm going to worship the Lord. I'm going to worship my Creator. I'm going to engage in the gospel, the good news that there's grace and love available to me and I can share in expanding that to others. So I welcome you today. I'm glad you're here and I hope that this is a really helpful gathering for you. Let's start with a few questions. Come on in. Glad you're here. Come on in. Lots of room in the front. write this down. Question number one. Where do you live? Write that down. Where do you live? I don't need to write that down. I know where I live. Just humor me here. Just write it down. The name of your street. This is just for you. We're not collecting any information on this. Where do you live? Second question. With whom do you live? Who's in your house with you? And if you're in a house alone, then go ahead and expand that circle a little bit and write down a couple names of people that you share life with. You taking a census or something? No, just like, we're just want to try and make this practical. Where do you live? With whom do you live? One more question. It's a little more difficult. Not much, but a little more difficult. When you think about your home, you think about where you live and the people that you live with, what is one pain point? What is one frustration? What is one struggle that just is on top of your mind this morning? What's one pressure point, a sadness? Did you have an argument this week with somebody in your home? What was that about? Maybe there's a tough situation in your family and you're navigating it. Maybe there's something you're trying to figure out. You're working to improve something. There's a puzzle you're trying to solve. What comes to mind? It will be most helpful if you write that down. To put it bluntly, what's a problem? What's a problem? What's one thing that's going on in your life that feels difficult, feels challenging, needs help? So hopefully we've identified a place and some people and a problem. Today, friends, I'm going to point to the obvious. It's the most obvious sermon I've preached in a long time. I'm going to talk about the obvious. I'm not going to say anything you don't know. This is all stuff that you know. And the invitation or the challenge is to seriously consider the obvious this morning. It's to seriously consider it. Don't let this go, oh yeah, I've heard that. I'm inviting you and I'm challenging you to seriously consider the obvious. And that's a challenging invitation. It is. That is a challenging invitation. Because when you hear somebody talk about something that sounds obvious, the automatic response is, yeah, I know that. And it almost feels like ridiculous. Why'd I come? This is silly. This is so clear to everybody. Why am I even here? It almost sounds boring or like a waste of time, but I want to call our attention to some of the most obvious parts of our life in an effort to remind us that this is our life right now. This is where it's happening. These are the people it's happening with. This is life right now. These are the problems we're wrestling through. Like it or not, this is an amazing problem. Or this is a lame problem. It doesn't matter. It's your problem. This is where it's happening. This is what's actually happening and the people it's happening with. This is our life, and we either see it, acknowledge it, recognize it, realize the amazing opportunities inherent in this moment, and experience as much of the meaning and the significance and the wonder of this moment in our short lives, or we overlook it because it's just so obvious. But in overlooking so much of our real life, we remove so much of our real life as a place in which we can experience the holy. When we overlook real life, we remove so much of our real life from being experienced as holy. In case you've missed the last few Sundays, let me just take 2 minutes to update you. This is the last series, the last sermon in a 4-week series today. The series has been called Light: Why We Do What We Do Here Now. We've taught through the church's 3 core values. We've been talking about what we do as a church, why we do it, why it's important to us. These are the values. The first is transformation. Everything we do here at Emmaus, especially this Sunday gathering, is run through this filter of transformation. This is our top priority. We want to continually discover Jesus and be transformed by his words and his power for his glory. We're talking about holistic life transformation. That's our first core value. Our second is community. Because this is a Christian church, we value community. We understand historic Christianity to be profoundly personal, but not individualistic. Christianity happens with others. It happens in community. The church is defined as a communal organization, right? Where 2 or more are gathered. We emphasize community here a lot. A couple weeks ago when we talked about this, we looked at community through the lens of a common word in the Bible used to talk about community, which is the word family. We talked about how we as followers of God are children of God, and we are all part of the same family, the same community of God. And then our third core value is a commitment to compassion. We are called to engage the culture. Not war against the culture, not run away from the culture, not blend in with the culture, but to engage the culture in the name of Jesus, to be in the world offering a compelling alternative to the norms of this world. So last week we considered this powerful statement from Jesus, who says to people following him, "You are the light of the world." So we trace light through the Bible. God invents light, speaks it into existence. Then in the New Testament, Jesus comes and says, "I am the light." And then this surprising twist in the story, he says to those following him, "Now you are the light of the world." We talked about our challenging but uncomplicated role in the world, which is wherever we go to be light. Challenging, but not complicated, to be the light. So these are our church's 3 core values, and talking about these core values can so easily become this ethereal, conceptual, kind of blah, 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 idea land talk that seems to really kind of thrive in the greenhouses of academics, but struggles to find its root in real life. In other words, who cares what a church's core values are? Unless the people who make up the church are actually living into and out of these core values. And so this is why when people officially join Emmaus Church Community, when they become official members of this church community, it is essentially the process of agreeing to live by 3 core values, which are these: transformation, community, and compassion. Don't you talk about lifestyle choices and the things you do and the don't do? Yeah, we talk about those things, but we don't lead with those things. And don't we talk about theology and doctrine and what we believe? Sure, we talk about those things and those are important to us, but that's not what we lead with. We don't lead with it. What we lead with is, could we join in together in a shared life around three values? Transformation, community, and compassion. We agree to, if we want to shuffle the order a little bit, share life, that's community, discover Jesus, continually discover Jesus and the ramifications of his life and teachings, that's transformation, and restore all things, that's compassion. So what I'm trying to emphasize today is that these values make the most real life impact when they've got mud on their knees, and there's dishes in the sink, and there's just enough tension in the house that the evening could kind of go either way. It really kind of depends on what values we choose to live out of, what values we choose to practice, right? This final sermon of the series is called Earth, because ideas and concepts can be neat and clean, and you can print them on a really sharp-looking, glossy brochure and hand it to people as they walk into the church. But true values are earthy. Okay. True values are lived out. The kingdom, or the reality that Jesus teaches us to pray for, is that the reign of God, the kingdom of God, the way of God will be on earth as it is in heaven. It's earthy. It's right here, right where we live, right at that address that's on your notes, with those people whose names you wrote down, right in the midst of those problems that you identified or thought about. All right, so let's look quickly at Matthew's gospel, chapter 6. This is Matthew's account of Jesus' teaching of the Lord's, what we call the Lord's Prayer. Some of us grew up calling it the Our Father, because that's how the prayer begins. This is chapter 6 of Matthew's gospel. It'll also be on the screen. Jesus says this, "Pray then like this, Our Father in heaven, hallowed be your name. Your kingdom come, your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts as we also have forgiven our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil." All right, so we could break this prayer down simply like this. We pray to God as our Father, right? Because we're children of God and we're part of the family of God. See how this begins with identity? It always begins with identity. Christianity begins with identity. And then what we do flows out of that. So we begin by acknowledging who God is, which then, of course, defines who we are. He is our Father. And then the heart of the prayer is simply this: your kingdom come, your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. The heart of Jesus' teaching on prayer is heaven to earth. Heaven to earth. It's future realities in the messiness of now. Okay. It's heavenly realities breaking into the brokenness of right here. The heartbeat of Jesus' prayer is heaven to earth. This is a prayer for God's help to live right here and right now in the reality of God's eternal victory. And we typically focus on this heavenly reality part of the prayer, which is understandable and good, but the prayer is actually a prayer that tries to take hold of those heavenly realities and then put them into practice right here in an earthy place, right? On earth, to make it earthy, to bring it here now, right where we're living, to this place with these people in the face of these problems. So we won't go too deep with the rest of this prayer, but just notice there's just three other requests that are included in this prayer. The first is, give us today our daily bread, which is a prayer about basic provisional challenges, right? Basic needs. And the second request is, forgive us as we forgive others. This is a prayer about basic relational challenges. So we start with basic provisional challenges, and then we go to basic relational challenges. And then the last prayer is, lead us not, or save us from temptation and deliver us from evil. Now, this is a prayer about basic personal challenges. So when Jesus' disciples ask him to teach them to pray, he gives them a very earthy prayer. Ask God for help with your personal challenges, your relational challenges, and your provisional challenges. Ask God to meet you right in the midst of your personal struggles and temptations. Ask God to meet you and to transform your relational challenges and resentments and issues. And ask God to meet you in your needs for practical things. This is a very earthy prayer. This is not an ivory tower prayer. This is not a super spiritual prayer. This is a real life prayer. This is mud underneath your fingernails kind of prayer. This is dirty dishes in the sink kind of prayer. This is like God's grace and truth meets PG&E bills and argument with your teenager, right? And that consistent temptation towards greed or lust or resentment or whatever it is that we battle with. It's earthy. This is a prayer for a spirituality that makes a real difference in real life. It's entirely real life focused, right? So there's a whole lot of reasons that it's challenging for us, I think, to live, ironically, to live a spirituality in real life. There's a whole lot of reasons that this just sort of gets categorized for many of us in, frankly, kind of an irrelevant part of our life. It's hard, in other words, to bring heaven to earth on a really practical level. I think there's a lot of reasons for that. Let me mention just one this morning, because this is an obvious sermon. Just one. The reason is that we overlook the earthy. We overlook the here and now. We run right past the obvious and the basic elements of real life. We are conditioned to do this. We're always focused on the next. We're always focused on the new. We're always focused on the novel and the exciting. Most of us, most of the time, prefer the event to the ritual. We prefer the event to the routine. We are deeply affected by consumerism. And so we usually work harder to possess the shiny and the impressive than we work to grow in faithfulness and to grow in stability. We're more strategic with our efforts to acquire something fancy than we are with our efforts to become more faithful. And so questions like, where do you live? And who do you live with? They just no longer capture our attention. They're not exciting to us. Yeah, I know that stuff. They simply aren't dramatic enough. And so we overlook the basics. We overlook them. And tragically, when we do this, we overlook the most real life parts of real life. It's just tragic to me. And I'm in the midst of the struggle. Oh yeah, I know that. I know all that. Friends, we're called not to an idea, not to a set of detached from real life values. We're called to a specific, embodied, earthy, and localized devotion to Jesus. In other words, we're called not to a set of intellectual concepts and ungrounded ideas about Jesus. We're called to follow Jesus in the way we live. Isn't it interesting? It doesn't say, understand me. He says, follow me. Angela's going to celebrate communion today, and she'll repeat the words of Jesus. He doesn't say, take and understand. Take and eat. Right? We're called to this lived out devotion to Jesus. We're called to love God and love others, not theoretically, but practically. Right? We must live out our faith. We must put our faith into practice. We must practice our faith. This is becoming a more important phrase to me for my own life and for others as I meet with people about issues and struggles and challenges. What should I do? You should practice your faith. Practice it. What does your faith tell you to do? Let's put that into practice. Let's practice our faith with all that we are and all that we have or don't have. So finally, we've been talking all month about why we do what we're doing here now. And I just want to wrap up this series by highlighting and inviting you to just really pay attention to those very last two words, here and now. I want to invite us as we continue to seek God and worship God together, as we continue to dream big dreams together, as we continue to chase challenges together, as we continue to love and serve one another, as we continue to serve the cities where we live and work for restoration in places like public school campuses here in Lincoln, or temporary settlements outside of Johannesburg, South Africa, and everywhere in between, as we pray together, as we work for the kingdom of God together. I just want to urge us this morning not to overlook the obvious. And that is just so easy to do. I want to challenge us to be here now. This is where life's happening. This is where it's happening. I spend so much of my time remembering the past and longing for some parts of it. And I spend the rest of most of my time planning for the future and imagining what I'm going to do, what I'm going to say. And I need to be right here and I need to be right now. Our devotion to Jesus should impact where we live. Our devotion to Jesus should impact who we live with. Our devotion should impact our present problems, big and small. Because the Christian faith is earthy. Our devotion to Jesus should express itself, should make a difference first in the most basic, most apparently plain, potentially unremarkable and mundane parts of our life. We want heaven to take root here on earth. And specifically, we want heaven to take root in this particular place of earth that we're occupying for this short amount of time that we're here. We want to see heavenly realities here. And we want to taste future restoration right now in the midst of our own lives and the relationships we have with others and the problems that we're facing. So I want to invite you to stand up with me as we wrap up, and let's just pray the Lord's Prayer together. And as we conclude this time, this series, and this time of teaching this morning, I just want to invite you to pray this prayer with your place in mind, with your people in mind, and with the problems that you're facing in mind. The prayer is translated in several different ways, so we'll put it on the screen, and let's use these words and pray this together this morning. Pray with me. Our Father in heaven, hallowed be your name. Your kingdom come, your will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us today our daily bread. Forgive us our sins as we forgive those who sin against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For yours is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. Amen. Amen. Friends, may the peace of Christ be always with you.